Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. That is what we needed. That's right. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squidbilly. I'm a Gabby Award winner. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Don't ask him what the P stands for, because his name is Michael, and he's got a P in there somewhere, and then it's Johnson. She is the...
Stands for pistol.
You know what? Hold on.
Yeah. That's sorry. Deserved.
Sorry. Should have been a little quicker probably, but I had that in my mind all the way in this morning.
She is a tofu taster, a queen of improv, first lady of Charlie Morton's Atlanta baseball team, Miss Allie Mack. And Dylan is an Eagles fan, a Falcons fan. He rotates, but he's our guy.
He does believe in B teams.
And he is a creepy waiver, but we love him no matter what. He's our little brother, Mr. Dylan Dylon Matthews. All right. We've got so much to talk about. There were so many things happening in the sports. We've got Ryder Cup, SEC matchups in the state of Georgia. Georgia Tech, close one. But Charlie Morton retires as a Brave, or maybe. But I think, Allie, we probably want to start with our Falcons maybe at some point.
You think we should start there? I am curious, did you guys fall asleep easily last night? Or is it one of those where it's like, so much adrenaline?
I woke up because of the adrenaline. I actually rocked myself to sleep, rocking my child to sleep. So I put myself in drowsy mode, but I couldn't sleep. And I woke up like at 2, like ready to go.
Yeah, I think that, so I had the adrenaline thing going, obviously, and it's awesome because me and Grant get a chance to step in here for 2 hours in postgame and talk about it and kind of like weave through the emotions. And by the time I'm done with that, adrenaline's worn off and I am exhausted. Like I get home, my wife, I'm like, my eyes are closing as we're like bathing the kids, you know, and my wife's like, are you tired? I'm like, I'm exhausted. And I know it doesn't seem like a job or career path that will, you know, exhaust you, but absolutely because of the emotions and adrenaline throughout a lot of this weekend, it's like, dude, I can't even hold my eyes open. Well, I am spent.
You're just on a 10 the whole time. And yeah. I did listen to the post-game show, and you guys just sounded like there was so much joy in your voices talking about that game.
Yes, I'm glad to hear that.
So I can see how you might be exhausted from that. So let's go over some of the things that Bo just mentioned. Yes, Braves won yesterday against the Pirates 4-1 to wrap up the season. Charlie Morton started for the last time in his career at this point. Snickers retirement decision still up in the air. Now, the Europeans did win the Ryder Cup. If you're keeping track at home, that means the Europeans have won 11 of the past 15 Ryder Cups. Georgia lost to Alabama 24-21. Georgia Tech beat Wake Forest on overtime. And, of course, the Falcons beat the Commanders. Michael Penix threw for a career high, 313 yards, completing 20 of 26 passes. Final score, 34-27.
I want to ask you guys this. This is one of the emotions I tried to weigh yesterday immediately after the game. Am I more upset about the Carolina game after yesterday and seeing what Carolina did against New England? I feel like I was like more upset. I kept looking back at last week going, what just happened? I mean, and we talk about this all the time, win the games you're supposed to win. The fact that the offense came out and looked like it did yesterday and just looked unstoppable at times, and Bijan's running so hard and the receivers are making great plays and everything else, and then I'm looking on the TV, like I said, or watching Red Zone, and Carolina's getting throttled. I'm like, how did this happen? How did we find ourselves here last week?
I I want to say yes, but had we not came out and responded, like I thought the team came out and responded right away. And I was going back and forth with some people, and you know how it goes. Everybody has an opinion, which unfortunately in today's world we have to hear. But I thought the team responded exactly like you wanted. The defense continued to do what they do, which was hold teams under 300 yards, keep really teams out of the end zone to an extent and hold them to field. I mean, they kicked 4 field goals yesterday, and the offense came out and responded immediately with 2 drives. They didn't go inside the 30 all week last week, or once last week, and they went twice in the first 2 drives. Had they not responded, I would have been putting a lot more stock into that. Does it feel like that was an unacceptable result even more now?
Yeah.
Yes. But I think everyone handled everything the way you want to. Heads rolled, literally. A head rolled. You made adjustments. You know, you fired a position coach in a position that was underperforming. They come out and perform this week. So I think you kind of did the things that you wanted them to do based on the result. You just hope that that doesn't trip you up late in the year.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and it was nice to see. And there were some wrinkles, and obviously things we'll get into throughout the show. I was pretty happy with Zach Robinson being on the field, which was such a massive topic of conversation. Mm-hmm. T.J. Yates down on the field as well, which I thought was interesting. Didn't expect to see both of them down there. I think it was KJ Black who was up in the booth, which I just don't know. Didn't see that one coming, I guess.
I think you had to have TJ down there because, yeah, he's the passing game coordinator, but he's also the wide receiver coach right now. And I think it was pertinent to have him down there taking back over that position group that he did coach from 21 to 23. Or 22, yeah, I think it's 21. Yeah, 21, 23.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Having him down there doing that. So I think he needed to be down there. It was one that we questioned, right? Who would be down there?
Yeah.
And who would be up? But I think I think about it. And look, I thought the wide receiver room, for the most part, came out and answered the call.
Yeah, I completely agree. Let me backtrack on that. I think Drake London answered the call. I thought it was really interesting. I think it was like the second play of the game. You throw a screen to Ray Ray, and it was based off like wide zone action, and you throw the weak side. The whole offensive line's blocking like it's wide zone, and Penix just takes it, picks it up, throws it out there, which I thought, okay, this is perfect. This is kind of like your counter run play, but you're just throwing the ball. And he drops it. And he didn't – I think he got targeted one more time, and I think it was for -7 yards. Like, he didn't touch the ball.
And that was really – they counted that as a pass, Mike. But that was the double reverse debacle,
right?
Yeah, it was this little pitch. I don't know why they counted it as a pass.
Yeah, it was really – and I think that – so, like I said, I think that Drake London stepped up. And obviously Kyle Pitts and Bijan in the passing game. But, you know, we didn't see Darnell do much and Ray Ray zero. So, it is what it is as far as that goes.
I thought Darnell had a really good route on that little comeback in the red area that they ended up getting a first down. But other than that, he did leave the game with a hamstring. But he's just not running crisp routes.
Yeah.
And that's not my opinion. I've talked to people and they're watching it. And I don't understand where the disconnect is.
I don't either. Because usually, and we talked about Darnell being injured throughout training camp, and you think, okay, yeah, the injury. Dude, it's not a leg injury, though, or it wasn't until yesterday. And so I'm confused as to why the routes aren't crisp as well. He also had another one that was a beautiful throw from Michael Penix. Tight coverage, but it kind of dropped in his breadbasket. He bobbles it along the sideline and catches it out of bounds, which, you know, I thought, okay, good coverage, good pass breakup. And you go back and watch it, and it lands right in his hands. So it was a really good throw. But yeah, I got questions, but I have no doubt that with 15 days ahead, they'll get some things straightened out.
Well, and I do want to mention, since it is Falcons Monday, we are celebrating today. 404-726-0929. If you want to call in and celebrate alongside with us, feel free to. I am curious, how do you think things changed up so much going into yesterday? It just felt like everyone's demeanor, attitude, it was all so different, and everyone's just ready to fire.
Yeah, I'll give Raheem Morris a lot of credit on this one. And I know that for whatever you said last week, probably a lot of people taken back, or maybe you still feel the same way you did about Raheem Morris. But this is one of the things we talked about when he was hired for this job, is the ability to get players to play up. right? And the ability to motivate guys in that locker room and stay steady and always have that attitude. It fell flat last week, and that was one of the more frustrating things. You're like, you're watching this offense. You're like, nobody looks like they want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons in pregame, I brought it up to Dave Archer. I was like, I don't know. Is there a thing about being outdoors and the weather against Carolina? Is there something that, you know, maybe throws you off? And, you know, Dave, he didn't like the notion of that. But I still go back to the demeanor of just like, it just felt like, oh, don't really care. Not up for this one. It's not prime time. It's against a bad Carolina team. We're on the road. We're outdoors. I'm good. But you answered the bell and you got back. And when Dave, and Bo, I know you were standing there, when Dave asked Raheem in the postgame, and he says, you know, hey, a lot of talk about Michael Penix, a lot of talk about the performance last week. Raheem said what? Rightfully so. I mean, we didn't play well. But he's like, we use that to our advantage, and we answer the bell this week. I thought that said a lot about the conversations inside of that building.
I want to tell you, I think you and Arch are both right. I think Arch is right when his, like, that can't be. But I do believe that you have some young players on this team. You notice the side of the ball I know that we talk about all these young players on defense, but the side of the ball with less veteran leadership is offense. Now, you can say that Drake is a fourth year, Pitts is a fifth year, Bijan is in his third, but, I mean, the leader of your offense is Michael Penix, and you still got young players sprinkled in, and I think that there could be – it's two or three years in a league is really not old.
Yeah, I agree.
But when you've got Jesse and Caden Ellis and Onyemata and those kind of guys on the defense, that's a little bit more veteran leadership. Those guys they've got like almost 20 years of NFL experience, or maybe over 20 years of NFL experience. So it's a little bit different for me. So I think both can be true. And that was a sleepy atmosphere in Carolina to start that game. You allowed it to not be as sleepy towards the end, but it was sleepy. And there was a lot of Washington colors in there, and they all went home unhappy, so I'm happy about yesterday.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And to go back to your point, you know who I think the vocal leader is on offense? And I've thought this many times. There's a lot of soft-spoken guys. We've talked to a lot of them. Drake London, soft-spoken, plays hard. Bijan, soft-spoken, plays hard. Matthew Bergeron, to me, he's the leader, which is crazy. And you just mentioned it, 2 or 3 years in the league, not a long time. All right, but when you look at Matthew Bergeron, every time there's a big play, he is downfield trying to clean somebody up, and then he's hyping up the guy whoever made the catch or the run. It's like the first guy down there. I absolutely love it. Is he the best player? No. Is he the top five players on offense? No. There's five or six first-round picks on our offense, but all of them are soft-spoken, lead-by-example type of people. Matthew Bergeron's the guy that's like, nah, man, like we're ready to roll. And I think that says a lot about him, says a lot about our ability and the task we put in front of him on a day-to-day basis. So, yeah, I agree with you on that one.
That is interesting. I want to go back and look at him now after every single play. Well, coming up, we're going to dive in more. We're going to let you hear some of the highlights all morning long from yesterday's game. We're going to celebrate this Falcons Monday, 404-726-0929. It's all next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ball at the Commander 14 and a three-point lead. Penix will bring London through the formation to the left, hand it to Robinson. Bijan bounces inside the 10, keeps his feet at the 5, spins into the end zone. Touchdown Atlanta. What a run. Mr. Robinson. 14 yards and the first rushing score of the year for Bijan Robinson.
Love to hear it. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan also hanging out on a Falcons Monday. They rise to 2-2 after they beat the Commanders yesterday, 34-27 at the Benz. And I know Mike and Bo, both of you are going to look at the film. I know both of you already said it's ready, but I just want to enjoy how fun yesterday's game was before you pick it apart.
What are you talking about? I was going to say the film watching's fun. This is the fun part.
But I don't want to point out any flaws because to me, yesterday was perfect at this point.
Well, I tend to agree with you as far as I don't like picking out the – I like to be happy after wins. Yeah. Somebody – I was tweeting with our boy. His last name's Jet, so I call him Jet. And he's like, we're talking about the defensive pressures. And he's like, yeah, but this. And I go, dude, we don't have a lot to be happy about all the time. Like, we have our bumps in the road as fans for this team. Enjoy the wins. Worry about the fixing on Thursday or some crap. Almost,
yeah.
Like, enjoy the wins for 24 to 48 hours. And I'm gonna tell you this: for a win, you can enjoy it until Wednesday, right? And get to your install. Now this week, you can enjoy it for a week because it's a bye week. After a loss, be miserable for 24 hours and then move on. Because you can't let it fester. You know, you can't let it. You got to get it out and then be done with it.
I argue with some of my old teammates, college and NFL teammates, all the time about things like that. Because I'm like, 24 hours. They say 24 hours. I'm like, I don't care. You know what? I don't have to prep for the other team. You know what I mean? Like, I want to enjoy this one for a few days. If I want to just waller in this one for the next week, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And it is funny. I had the same conversation with somebody yesterday around halftime talking about Zach's play call. I'm like, dude, we're winning. Just calm down. It's fine. We're just going to ride the wave for a little bit.
I didn't think the play calling was all that. I don't think there was much to complain about yesterday. If you want to make a complaint, you talk about a third and short play that they did run out of the pistol. The reality is I would – first off, I would have challenged the spot because I thought Drake got the first down on that play. Second, his quarterback sneak would have been nice. But third – not to be that guy and not to get yelled at already, but if you just went up front, you get the first down. You lost leverage up front on the play from the line point standpoint, and it didn't matter what formation you're running out of.
Yeah, I will say this too. Dan Quinn gets the win on that one. They overloaded the left side of our offensive line. They brought three on our left guard and left tackle. And you couldn't redirect. Like when you have three guys backside, you can't block back on wide zone or inside zone or whatever it is. And so they overloaded things. They had an unblocked guy on the backside, and they knew exactly what we were coming with. So, yeah, I'll give Dan Quinn the dub on that.
Well, yesterday was a day for career highs for Michael Penix. He threw for 313 yards. Also, Bijan Robinson had a career high of 181 yards from scrimmage. Let's go ahead and hear from Raheem Morris on how Michael Penix performed yesterday.
You know, rightfully deserved, and we embraced that, and so did he. He went back to work. He went back to the lab, and all he could do was come out and play. And he came out today, and he gave us a lot of good numbers. He gave us a lot of really positive things moving forward, and he's going to do nothing but get better.
Yeah, that was with Arch in the post game there, Allie. And it's look, all I was looking for was a response this week as a team. And I thought it was overwhelming the response we got.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I was trying to temper my expectations. And look, this team in a lot of different ways was a team that was put up to bat. And I'll just use Kyle Pitts for an example. I think this is the best way to go about this. Kyle Pitts is a guy that has had his ups and downs in his career. But when Kyle Pitts is going strong, when Tyler Algier is going strong, when all these other pieces of this offense are playing at an okay level, and then you have Bijan and Drake playing like superstars, you're going to flourish. As long as we don't do boneheaded moves, you are going to flourish. We have too much talent not to. And I thought all those things were true yesterday. Kyle Pitts is a guy, I don't need you to play up to your ceiling. I just need you not to play at your floor. And yesterday, multiple times, I think he rose to the occasion. And credit Zach Robinson, didn't ask Kyle Pitts to do many things that were not in his wheelhouse. I think that was a good thing as well.
But he did ask him to do something I think many people think it's not in his wheelhouse on the touchdown, is sustain a block. And on the touchdown to Pitts, it's a bootleg, and all he's got to do, and I believe it was Martin is the name of the player, number 55, is get his hands on him, And, you know, he does, Mike. Jacob Martin, he gets him and he holds him, not holding like a penalty, but he hangs on to him long enough for Penix to kind of get out.
Yeah.
But Pitts does a really good job of disengaging and not allowing Martin to kind of engage back, right?
Yes. He didn't allow him to immediately get in Penix's face off the play fake.
Yeah, and engage himself, and he was able to release and get out there and then make a play with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, and not to dive too far into the finite details, but what you had, the play action, the play fake was not off of wide zone. So it wasn't technically a bootleg. It was more of a almost an RPO action where Michael Penix actually opened up towards the defensive end and Kyle Pitts, and the running back has downhill action straight towards the handoff out of the pistol in the backfield. That allows Michael Penix to have his eyes on that defensive end immediately. Kyle Pitts kind of shields him off and then gets in a flat. That's like taking candy from a baby. That play should be there 10 times out of 10 when we run that play. So I thought it was well-designed, well-executed.
Well, I think it was about a week ago today the decision was made for Zach Robinson to come down into the field rather than be in the coach's booth. So I want to play another piece from Dave Archer's post-game interview with Raheem. He asked him about Zach being down on the sideline this week.
It just feels good. You know, Zach brings a certain amount of energy to this football team. He brings a certain amount of energy to our offense. I mean, he just brings a certain amount of energy from the guy. You know, when I was happy to see him down there, I was happy to see us have success, be able to move the football, to bring his juice, get those guys closer together. That's something that we're going to move forward doing.
I love it, man. I love it. I know that you were standing there listening to this. I know Raheem was jacked up in that locker room.
Yeah, yeah, he did. I mean, it's so funny because when you win, like, it's two prong, right? Because I'm thinking of all these things, like, hey, what's traffic gonna be like when I get out of here? Traffic's heavy when you leave pretty quickly. I left pretty quickly yesterday because everybody's happy and everybody's coming and doing their interviews and they're getting out of there, right? Mm-hmm. When you lose, Mike, you know how this is. You kind of linger. You don't want to do the interview, so you wait. And I say don't want to do. Like, nobody wants to talk when you lose. Like, you don't want to have to revisit all these things. It's fresh. You're irritated. And everybody came quickly. You know, it's funny because you talk about Raheem. When we talk to Dre, you know, he comes in. I'll peel behind the curtain a little bit. Archer's like, dude, that was a great catch. And Drake's like, which one? What do you mean?
I had like 10 of them. What are you talking about?
No, but not. No, he was just kind of looked like befuddled. And Art's like, that last one, you know, where you had to go down and get it. And he goes, it was a really good catch. And he was like, was it? Like, really? And he's like, yeah. And then
he didn't even realize.
He just went. Like, you just go make the play.
He's like, I blacked out. I have no idea what happened.
But you go back and rewatch it, and it was. I thought it was a great throw by Michael. He put it where only I could get it and put me at the bat. And he did. He didn't put him up to bat. He put him down to bat. And he went down and got it and made sure he got his feet on the sideline, on the Washington sideline, where you guys know you're less likely to get a call over there. If you're not going to get a call, you're less likely to get it on their sideline because the referee is hearing, you know, the nonsense from them and doesn't want to hear it continuing. But it was a great catch. But yeah, everybody was, you know, but Michael Penix's credit came in there. Level. Like, yeah, we had to go answer.
Well, and I think that's, and going back to the cut, Raheem's talking about Zach on the sideline. I think that's a massive part of that because I think that when you look at the demeanor, and I actually liked Zach Robinson, like high-fiving everybody on the sideline. It's just, and I told Bo this yesterday in pregame. I just haven't been around offensive coordinators that are not head coaches that are on the sideline. It just was not a thing in my career going all the way back to college. They were always upstairs. Mike Mularkey was upstairs. Dirk Cutter was upstairs. It's like, you know, you go all the way back to this thing. Now, when they're head coaches, they have to, but you see Zach Robinson on the sideline, TJ Yates on the sideline, how excited, just to see them all smiling with one another and high-fiving Michael Penix off the field, I think the vibes were a lot higher. And I don't know from a functional standpoint exactly what was different, but I will say this, and I think this actually had a big impact on the game. How many times do we see Michael Penix get up to the line of scrimmage with like 15 seconds left on the play clock still? And it was awesome. And it was, you know, I know that there's not a crowd noise thing, but the operation of getting the play in just seemed more streamlined for whatever reason yesterday, and it looked like it put everybody at ease.
It sounds so fan, like a fan-oriented comment, which, you know, I am. That's why I grew up. But do you just get in the flow of the game better? You just feel what's happening more when you're down in it than kind of above watching it from the sky. Because I kind of feel like it's there's something more, something different about being in it.
Like you're immersed. I think the word is immersed.
Yeah,
you're deeper into the flow of things instead of looking at too high safeties or whether they're running cover three. You're down there just looking at your guy in the eye and running the next play, and you're just all he has to do is listen to KJ Black or Bourbonich or whoever's up in the box, and he's going, "Oh yeah, okay, well they ran cover three last time."
And maybe you're hearing too what the defense talk. Yeah. You're hearing a little bit more of what they're saying. I mean, I just think there's something to being down in something as far as being up in a booth. And look, I've been next to those booths. I've watched those guys. You know, there's times where I can just watch all of their reactions. Not like they're not into it, yeah, but it's just different feeding off the emotions of the player actually in your face.
I agree, and I also think that Michael Penix's operation, like I said, with having that much time on the clock, he didn't feel rushed, and almost like he felt like he could kind of diagnose things for a little extra couple seconds of looking around going, oh, okay, there's that guy. Okay, yeah, I was looking. There's this guy. Okay, nope, yeah, I know what we're supposed to run. All right, let's go.
Well, we're going to keep diving into this throughout the entire show. Bo, I do want to ask you more about the energy in that locker room because we've all seen that video of Raheem post-game. Incredible speech there. But coming up next, the boogeyman lives on for Kirby Smart. We're going to talk about it. I got to eat some crow. We've also got my Allie Mac drop going over some of the biggest Falcons wins in history. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is behind the glass, and UGA has dropped to number 10 in the latest coaches poll after that loss to Alabama on Saturday. They had been ranked number 3, but falling to Kalen DeBoer and co. At Sanford Stadium, 24-21, that'll do it. Here's Kirby on being 1-7 against Bama.
I mean, what's everybody else's record against them? You got it? I don't either. Like I don't lose sleep over that because those games have been like championship caliber games, right? And even when we play in the regular season, they've been. I just saw 25 scouts out there. They're all there to watch these teams play. So that's not going to affect me. Like I'm going to be happy and just go lucky if our team comes back and plays well. That's what I worry about.
What a game, first off. What a Saturday in college football. And the two night games did not disappoint between
Insane.
Oregon and Penn State and Georgia, Alabama. I'll say that first. The best quarterback on the field was wearing crimson. The best offensive line and defensive line on the field were wearing white and crimson. I thought that when it came down to it, Ty Simpson made plays when they needed it, and I thought that short yardage-wise, Alabama beat Georgia handily. When Alabama needed a yard, they could get it. When Georgia needed a yard, Alabama could keep them from getting it. And that's where I thought the difference was in the game. I saw the fire Glenn Schumann tweets at halftime. What did his defense do in the second half?
Awesome.
They didn't allow
so
a point.
Good.
Now, they did allow some – Alabama was able to secure the game by getting short yardage. But, I mean, this game was – both teams are going to score in the first half, and hardly anybody scored in the second half. Kalen DeBoer, for all the crap he gets about, oh, he's not an SEC coach. Well, he's 2-0 against the best coach in college football. And that stands for something. Also, the message boards and the Twitterers that have hit me up about Kirby, if he's going to be soft and not focused, can go kick rocks.
Yeah,
I don't think so, Scooter.
If you had to make me pick any coach to coach a college football game, it would be Kirby Smart, and I don't care what happened on Saturday. And I told you guys going in, I was not confident in what Alabama was able to do. But Kirby Smart is still the best coach in college football. This is not like you went out and got the doors blown off of you. And I know, I realize it is frustrating for Georgia fans, but your defense did struggle in the first half. I think Ty Simpson started 8 of 8 on third down, which is crazy, a crazy number. And you're right. In the end, I think Bam ended up 13 of 19 on third down. Georgia ended up 2 of 8. That was the story of the game in a lot of different ways. But I still, guys, Georgia's a very good football team, and Georgia is going to the playoffs this year. Do not forget that. Do not lose sight of that.
Man, you are so gracious about this. I told Grant Saturday night, it was like, I talked a lot of smack last week. He was like, that's sports.
It's just, yeah. Well, and again, that's, I have so much respect for Kirby and that program because I've seen the way they've gone about that business. And it's just, guys, it's one or two plays here and there. A lot's going to be made about not kicking the field goal. And I understood in the flow of the game, looking back on it, I can say, okay, Cash Jones, this, that, and the other. But he's a shoelace away from probably picking up that first down and putting that game into Georgia's hands. So I don't know. I know a lot of Georgia fans back and forth about just take the points. You were really close to breaking that thing open.
I get tired of the second guessing because I think it's so easy to sit back when the game's all said and done and say, well, if you wouldn't have done this and if you had only done that and if you do this and that, it gets old. Look, Kirby, he felt the flow of the game. To your point, was let's go for this. We're at home. Let's go ahead and win this. Let's go win this game right now.
Yeah,
I have no problem with that. With the guys won a couple of national titles. I don't think the team's lost focus. I don't think the team's soft. I think what you're seeing right now, and Kirby said this in postgame, what you're seeing right now is what college football is. Those were two of the five most talented teams in college football on Saturday night on the same field. And you don't have depth like you. So you can talk about losing focus. That's all a bunch of crap. It's not, and none of it is real. What is real is the depth that these two teams used to have is not there. They're talented 1 through 11. Probably, and I'm talking about on just one side of the ball, probably 1 through 15. But the two deep, the 2.5 deep on each side of the ball at each position, that doesn't exist anymore. That's why Vanderbilt is 5-0, blowing somebody out and coming to
not excited
Tuscaloosa
about that one
next weekend with game day there.
Yeah, not excited. I think it's a great point. I think the ceiling of the SEC has come down, and I think the floor has come up. Even Mississippi State.
Holy smokes. That game against Tennessee was off the rails,
great
Mike.
Great game. And you just don't see the basement dwellers that you have in the past in the SEC, and you don't have the other teams running away with it because of that. It's really, really good football right now, really competitive.
Look at how good LSU Ole Miss was. Look at how good that game was. Man, I mean, it's crazy. I love college football.
Yeah, speaking of, Ole Miss beat LSU 24-19. I do want to mention, though, Oregon, Penn State, crazy game. Oregon ended up winning 30-24 in overtime.
This is the James Franklin thing we talked about last week on Friday. James Franklin now, I believe, is 4-21 against top 10 teams. 4-21, and Dan Lanning, who has been there for 3 years, has 5 wins against top 10 teams. It's just crazy. Drew Aller, woof. Woof, buddy. Like, that wasn't it right there at the end.
Drew Aller is going to be one of those – and I don't know this 100%. I think I could feel him being one of those quarterbacks that you – man, why wasn't he better in college? And then he gets in the NFL, and he just, like, Brock Purdy's it, but he's more talented.
Right.
And I think that he gets held back at times by James Franklin and Penn State and what they do. Down 17-3 though at home in the fourth quarter, and you make a rally.
You gotta
give them credit.
Yes, you
gotta
do.
Give them credit. Look, Penn State might be another team that you're saying at the end of the year is in the college football playoff. Don't sleep on that. The Tennessee, Miss State game, we're in overtime in that game. Like, what are we doing? I tell you what, I can't wait for this weekend because it's college football all day long. I don't got to worry about Sunday.
Dude, I'm headed over there. I'm Tuscaloosa bound this weekend with the Falcons on a bye week. Got offered a couple sweet tickets.
Nice.
Me and the wife are like,
Rich.
Yeah, I think we'll head over there.
Well,
I'm not rich. People that we know are, though.
Well, let me tell you something. I've worked with you. This is college football year three of working with you. This is the second year out of the three that you're going to be sitting in the suite.
Yeah, we're doing
Tuscaloosa.
All right. We're doing
so,
all right.
So, I mean, you know.
Right. We just meet the right people along the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, Georgia Tech beat Wake Forest 30-29. They're undefeated for the season. Halfway to that 10-win season, guys.
Yeah, we don't look so stupid now, do we, State? Where you at now, State? Yeah, why don't you come talk trash again, State?
Did you watch the offsides play that everybody's talking about? And again, it was a bad call.
I thought there was a fumble that was ruled a fumble, then incomplete that was – questionable as well, and that went Wake Forest's way. We can argue that. Yeah, they should have called it. Let me tell you something. This happens, and give Georgia Tech credit for taking advantage of it. Wake Forest came out with a hair on fire, ready to do something. You weathered the storm. You're down 23 after the opening drive. Wake Forest gets the open drive to the third quarter. You're down 20-3 now,
dude.
And you stormed back. And you were able to find a way to win a game where you did not play very good.
I agree. The mental toughness of Georgia Tech right now is off the chain. And you got to give them credit no matter what the outcome would have been at the end. But it's even sweeter for them to go out and get that win. And they're rolling right now, man.
Hey, each Wednesday night, join Damian Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Shotgun set now. Robinson off Penix's left hip for second and goal at the 6. 5.5, if you will. Commanders showing pressure. Penix going to gun it to the end zone. Touchdown, Drake London. And we're going 9-5 for the first touchdown.
Yes, after yesterday's win over the Commanders, I thought it was only appropriate for my Mac drop today to go over the biggest wins in Falcons history. It's not a contest. You don't need to memorize these. You don't have to have these in your brain, Bo. But I
Everything
am curious.
Is a contest.
I'm curious if they are filed away for you. Let's go through, and this is according to AtlantaFalcons.com. Which NFC rival did the Falcons beat in September of 1973, 62-7?
New Orleans.
That is the Saints, yes.
That's a good guess. Yeah, 33% chance.
They were pretty bad early in their existence. I think their first year was like 67.
Wait. And Carolina didn't exist then.
That's right. Well, you got to remember that back then New Orleans was an NFC West rival.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay was an NFC Central.
There you go.
Team.
Are you such a Falcons fan that you've gone back to previous games before your existence to know the history?
I mean, I've watched stuff and talked about stuff with people and seen stuff, but I haven't went back and like looked at every game that's ever happened.
Gather around, friends.
That was a little bit this is a little bit of a common sense thing of just knowing history of the teams and how bad New Orleans was early in their
I don't existence. Think it's common sense. I think it's just you. I think it feels like common sense to you.
Yeah, I was about to say, I wouldn't categorize that under common sense.
I think it's just a
it's good for you to know that.
I can rule out the other two.
Okay, sorry.
All right, so back in September of 2014, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Harry Douglas ran the score up 56-14 against who?
Tampa Bay.
He was at that one.
He knew that one.
I was at that one.
I was at that one, too.
You were. That was Devin Hester. I think Devin Hester broke the record that night, the punt.
I think you're right. The
punt return thing.
Man, what a good day that was.
Yeah.
All right, under Jerry Glanville, who did the Falcons dominate in November of 1991, 43-7?
I don't know, because they did play New Orleans in a playoff game that year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was New Orleans or... But I'll go with New Orleans.
It was the Bucs.
Okay.
I was like, I'm not even going to guess. You're up to bat here, buddy. If you want to win a competition, this is yours.
I bet you'll know this one. Matt Ryan threw for 329 yards on October 11th.
Panthers.
No. Oh.
Should have waited.
She just gave you the stink eye.
Should have waited.
Jump the gun.
All right, go ahead and finish the question, please, Allie.
October 11th, 2009, when the Falcons beat who on the road?
Oh, wow.
That was the second year. I don't know. 2009 was a blur.
Yeah, I was gonna say I wasn't quite here yet.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't traveling yet. I was
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a good guess.
That would be the 49ers.
There you go.
Okay.
I would not have guessed the 49ers. I will say that. That's good.
Is it all coming back to you now, Bo?
Yeah.
Like Celine Dion? He's going to act like it is.
I remember some games in 2009.
He's trying to save face by looking at the ceiling right now. I'm going, oh, yeah.
Let's see if we can get one more. Back in 2010, the Falcons crushed who on September 19th, 41-7?
September 19th.
Well, Mike was in the game.
I was going to say, was it a home game or an away game? That's early in the season. I'm going to say, is it Seattle?
The Rams.
It was the Cardinals.
Dang it. We were in the right division.
Yeah.
I
remember going on the road
Seattle
that year, and I think it was on the road and just beating. I thought they beat the crap out of the Rams, but maybe I missed it.
No.
I kind of swore.
There are just too many dominating wins to choose from.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Thank you for that, though. That's, yeah, I like the notion of that.
Well, coming up, speaking of wins, it is Falcons Monday. We are taking your calls at 404-726-0929. Getting into that most recent win, I do have a tweet I want to read you guys next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.